What's the matter with you, Carter? I just commented that the fog was convenient for your story.
Dunwin shrugged. His hands spread like a merchant in a pest-hole LoJack store, offering a customer a dubious bargain. Ryan was across the room and leaning over the leather-topped desk before Tomlin could even blink. He grabbed him by the collar and hauled him to his feet, heaving him up so that their faces were only inches apart.
What did you...
Gutless little bastard! You torture those dolphins so that they'll go kill for you. Try and enlist us on your side as hired guns. Then we run into those same pirates and you sit there smug as a gaudy whoremaster and make it fucking obvious you don't even believe me.
Tomlin was fumbling for a small automatic pistol tucked into his belt, but Ryan slapped him hard across the face with his free hand. A bright worm of blood crawled from the man's nose, across his lips, staining his bared teeth. Drops of it pattered onto the white coat and onto the pile of papers on the desk. Now Ryan was experiencing that frightening exhilaration that went with brutish power. The taste of Tomlin's fear was in his nostrils, rank and heavy, bringing a buzz with it that was almost sexual in its delight.
Please!
Tomlin's eyes, red-rimmed, protruded from their sockets as though they were on stalks. His tongue, blackening, lapped at the air between lips that were turning a cyanotic blue.
You piece of...
Ryan pushed him disgustedly down into his seat, which tilted right back so that Tomlin's feet pointed for a moment at the ceiling.
Blood of the martyrs, Carter! You might have killed me. Might have throttled me.
It's just that you touched a nerve. I don't like being called a liar. You understand what I'm saying?
The scientist nodded, his eyes looking down at the leather top of his desk.
I didn't hear you, Tomlin. I asked whether you understood why I was a little angry.
Sure. I understand.
Fine. Now that's out of the way, we can get to talking about what happened. What might happen. What's best to do about it.
It was full dark. A fine, rich clam chowder had been served in their quarters by the two Bobs. It was almost as though they'd never left the Institute, as though there'd never been the run-in with the pirates and the murderous exchange of fire. The thick soup was followed by a huge bowl of pasta, liberally larded with shrimps, prawns, mussels, and delicious shredded crab meat. Tomlin, now far more eager to make amends, had also sent over three bottles of a better-than-adequate pink wine that Mildred described as being an acceptable substitute for a white Zinfandel from before Skydark. Ryan had called everyone together straight after his stormy meeting with the professor and run quickly through what the two men had discussed and what had been agreed. It didn't take long.
We stay another 5 days. If there's an attack during that time, then we'll do what we can to side with the people here. If the pirates don't come, then we'll carry out a single recon on the 5th day. Then, if there's still no sign of any threat, Tomlin lends us a boat and a pilot, and we get taken back north by sea to the redoubt.
Everyone was broadly happy with that, with the possible exception of Michael. He slowly got up and walked around the room, standing and staring blankly out of the rectangular window that faced the ocean. Ryan watched him, seeing from the young man's body language that there was going to be an argument. He was unable to guess on what grounds, though Michael had been spending a deal of time with Miranda from the Institute. It crossed Ryan's mind how much the teenager had changed since he'd first been plucked from the lifelong security of the monastic retreat of Nilvanity. Then he'd been withdrawn and shy, often barely speaking. He'd been a barefoot innocent in so many ways, out of the real world for virtually his entire life, wearing his long brown robe with its thick knotted cord. Physically, he'd hardly altered at all. He was still in terrific shape, still with the fastest reflexes that Ryan Carter had ever seen in a human being. Then he'd also carried a pair of slim daggers, the only weapons he would permit himself. Time in the Deathlands had wrought its changes. Michael shifted at the window, half turning as though he were finally going to speak, then changing his mind yet again and gazing out once more at the blank reflection of the night in the smeared glass. Instead of the brown robe and the naked feet, Michael Brother was now an elegant figure, dressed in black from top to toe. The only touches of color were the copper rivets and silver thread in his black jeans. The other major change in his appearance was holstered at his left hip, a small, powerful revolver with an impressive name, the .38 caliber centerfire, 6-round Texas Longhorn Border Special.
Spit it out, Michael.
5 days?
Yeah.
Only 5 days?
You never had trouble with your hearing before, Michael. Must be all that time with your head underwater with Miranda. We go in 5 days.
Doesn't seem long enough to me.
No?
Michael's dark eyes narrowed in anger.
No, it doesn't, Ryan. Why 5 days?
Why not?
Why not 10?
Why not 50? Or why not 100, Michael?
5 isn't long.
We saw the pirates. Tomlin obviously thinks that an attack of some kind is imminent. I reckon the odds are that he's right. And we might have helped to provoke that by our ambush this afternoon. Made them triple crazy.
Then if it's our fault, we have an obligation to remain here and help.
I only said it might have helped, Michael. All you can do is the best you can. We'll give them 5 days. Take their side if... What was his name? Red Jack Yovel and his gang come down on us.
Like the wolf on the fold. Though I rather doubt that his cohorts will be gleaming in scarlet and gold. Scarlet? Yet Red Jack might be scarlet. What of scarlet? Frankly, I don't give a damn.
Thanks for that useful thought, Doc. I'm not going to make you do something you don't want to do, Michael. Not the way we work. You've ridden with us long enough to know that, haven't you?
Yeah, sure.
So, the rest of us are going to be here up to 5 days. Then we're going back to the redoubt and we're going to take another jump. You come with us, that's fine with me. That's fine with us all, I reckon. But if you want to stay behind then, that's your decision, Michael.
I hear you, Ryan.
You want time to think about it?
Guess I do. Guess I'm seeing things clearer.
Ryan turned back to face the others, sitting amid the remains of their meal.
That's it, then.
The first day passed by in a haze of bright sunshine and soaring temperatures. Ryan and JB took the opportunity to walk around the complex with Tomlin and a couple of his senior aides, trying to find all of the potentially strong and weak points of the defensive perimeter. After an hour, they stood together not far from the long building where some of the dolphins were still kept in the cramped confinement of their little cages.
Well?
Tomlin took off his glasses and wiped away the tiny, wind-blown speckles of salt.
Impossible.
Ryan looked sideways at the armorer, who gave a barely perceptible nod of agreement.
Why?
Land and water.
What's that mean, Carter?
JB stooped and drew a rough plan of the whole region in the soft, smooth sand at his feet.
None of the keys are more than 3 or 4 miles across. Most of them a lot less.
He used a small piece of driftwood to give an overall sketch of the area.
Redoubt here. Mainland up there where we saw the boats. And here's the Institute. The key's only 3/4 of a mile wide here. Pirates can easily come down the east or the west side. The Gulf or the Atlantic. Gives them the option of landing north or south of us. Means they got every card in the fire-dark pack to play against us. Any and every direction. See what I mean?
Of course. Forgive me, Mr. Dix, but this is all as plain as the nose on my face. The problem is obvious. Is there a solution?
Ryan took the piece of sun-bleached wood from his old friend.
No such thing as a solution. It depends. They come in with 300 men, 8 war wags, and half a dozen land-to-land missiles, and they win. No solution. They come in with 2 men on foot, armed with 2 bows and 4 arrows, and there's an easy ace-on-the-line solution. Reality lies somewhere in between.
Reality is in the mind of the thinker. The practical man must take his concept of reality and extrapolate it into the material world. Tell us your reality, Mr. Carter.
Thorand, one of the older scientists, pointed at JB's rough plan, where the wind was already beginning to shift the grains of sand and blur the outlines.
We know this. Tell us what we don't know.
Don't fuck with us. There isn't a lot we can do. Just be ready. Place some guards in pairs on 24-hour watch. Here and here. 2 more here above the beach.
Ryan made small holes in the sand to indicate where he wanted them situated.
Tell them that if they sleep or if they're careless, then we can all end up dead.
I'll tell them.
Make sure that everyone is armed if you've got enough blasters and ammo. Any spare guns, keep them central, where they can be reached easily.
That's all we can do and say now. Oh, and you can maybe have boats ready to run for it at the last. Think that's really all, Ryan?
Yeah, that's all.
After supper, it was such a beautiful night that everyone sat outside on the porch of the frame building that housed their living quarters. Across the way, near the main gates of the Institute, there were pools of vivid light, with more lamps now situated near the potential danger areas of the beach and the docks. All of them were attracting great swirling clouds of tiny midges. Michael stood, stretching himself.
Think I'll take a walk before bed.
Don't go beyond the defensive perimeter we've established. In fact, I think I'd keep well clear of it, Michael, in case some trigger-blind whitecoat gets nervous and tries to put you away.
Sure.
Waving his hand with a casual gesture, Michael stepped off the porch and disappeared.